they're very excited because it's a win-win.
Yeah, all the money's in the same pot.
There you go.
But yeah, so that's great to hear about like your time in Chicago, and then obviously that eventually led you back to Miami and the Fifth Street Gym. And, you know, you're training a bunch of fighters there currently. And there's a guy that I'm curious to hear more about. And that's Scardina from Italy, the Italian fighter who's undefeated.
Daniele, he came here on a vacation once. And he was just fresh out of the World Series of Boxing. And he asked me if I would hold pads for him. And I said, no, I really only have time for my clients and for professionals. He said, I want to turn professional. I said, when you're ready, you come see me. He came a year later, ready to move to Miami and commit to being a professional boxer. I got a sponsor to sponsor him and pay for his basic necessities. He lives a few blocks from the gym, and nobody that I've ever seen in my life works harder than this guy. This guy never misses a workout, never takes a round off. It's unbelievable. He sparred with James DeGale and he sparred with many, many world champions. And if they want to go 11 rounds, he wants to go 12. He just, as a psychological thing, he's like, ask me if I can go one more. And they're like, we scheduled 10. That's enough. Like, well, you're crazy, kid. He is determined. And right now he's on Dancing with the Stars in Italy. he's very, very popular. His social media has grown beyond belief. And he's there doing Dancing with the Stars. It's in a little delay because he caught Corona. So they put him in a two-week – he had no symptoms, but they put him in a two-week hiatus from practicing with his dance partner. But he will finish that. If he does really well, he'll finish in November, be back here at the end of November for Thanksgiving, and then we'll train 2 months, and then he'll fight again in January.
And what do you think is next for him? I know at this time, right, he's 16-0, Daniel Scardina, for the people who want to check it out. But
He's actually 18-0. He's number 14, I think, in the IBF and the WBA. You know, everything is kind of in limbo right now with everything.
Yeah.
He's, you know, with being the top 15, he's qualified to fight for a world title. That being said, we would jump at the opportunity if somebody out there, if one of the champs thinks they can beat him. With, you know, they better come in shape. They better come committed. They better not underestimate him because he takes every minute of every round very seriously. He'll come very prepared. So he's limited on experience. He's got 18 professional fights, and he doesn't have a lot of insurance, amateur fights at all. So he's got not a lot of experience, but in the gym, he's been with everybody. He's been with every champ he can get his hands on, and he's ready and waiting.
Is he a natural 168, or is he? Could he go down to 160 as well? I'm just kind of.
He's a natural 200 pounder that busts his ass with diet and exercise to fight it. And then when he actually steps in the ring, he's about 179.
Okay.
So he makes way to 168. With the IBF, you got to make they only allow you 10 pounds the next day. You know, that's like in the morning. He's like exactly 178, and then he has lunch. So maybe he's 180, but he's a big guy. He's over 6 feet tall. He's a big guy.
Yeah, because there's obviously, you know, as you know, there's a lot of really quality guys with from 160 to 168, which is good, right? I mean, there's a lot of options for him in the future, and a lot of you know, really good matchups.
Yes, I mean, he's got a something about him, a certain star quality that. The Zone really loved him. I know The Zone is now, I guess they're not in boxing anymore, I guess. But, you know, he just got to do his job, stay in shape, stay healthy. You know, there's so many fighters life sidetracks them. And I don't think life will sidetrack them. I think if they're going to have to beat him, they have to beat him fair and square in the ring.
Well, that's awesome. Everyone listening, make sure to go check him out on Instagram and follow his career. I think he's going to be definitely making some big splashes soon.
Not to mention, he's got the prettiest girlfriends that anyone's ever seen. So, as it goes,
I went on his Instagram and I said, "Man, this guy—he's got a good life right now."
Yeah, if you look back at his old ones, he's got different girls as he goes along. So it's very interesting.
So that's awesome. Everyone, go check him out. But also, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention or talk about obviously your time with Angelo Dundee and Muhammad Ali and. And, you know, I'd love to just hear some stories about those guys. And obviously, just to be able to know such an icon, Ali, you know, it's just like, that's crazy to even, you know, that you had a personal relationship with him.
Yeah, it is crazy. My friend Tom, who started the gym with me, who was Fresno Kendall's manager, was really like Muhammad's best friend the last like 4 or 5 years that he was with us. His sister-in-law was like his caretaker, and they were, the three of them were like the three musketeers the last few years. They were together all the time. And when Muhammad takes his medicine to be in public to shake less, it tightens up his throat as well, and he can't speak. But when he's home, shaking a lot, but also talking a lot, we got great stories and great fun and autographs and pictures. He drew pictures for us, and just a great time. I was having lunch with him once. It was just me, him, and his sister-in-law, and we were having lunch, and I read a tweet that said, Lennox Lewis is coming to retirement to fight Klitschko for $100 million. And without skipping a beat, Muhammad said, for $100 million, I'll fight both of them.
I'm sure he meant it, too.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. He was the best, man. He really was. We watched cowboy movies at his house for hours on end, like three in a row. He's great. He clearly flirted with girls a third of his age until the very end. Until the very end, he clearly was hitting on chicks. It was just, and he meant it, and they were enamored by him. They were like staring into his eyes. I mean, he had it going on until the last minute.
Yeah, I mean, like, just looking back at old videos of him like in the Fifth Street gym before the Sonny Liston matchup, and there's just so many iconic moments, and like, he was such a special person regardless of how he was as a fighter. It was like his gift of gab was just unmatched. I mean, we haven't seen anything like that before. So it's great to hear that he was like that even, you know, in his last years. And you know, when he was talking to you guys, like, I guess when he was at home, did he ever talk about boxing per se, like today? Like, was he a fan still, or was he?
Yeah, for sure, because we would ask him, or we would put the fights on. We'd watch the fights with him, so we'd put them on, and you know, and he would, you know, play around and move his head around, and you know, and yeah, you know, we weren't you know, analyzing. We're just, you know, it's hard because you're so happy to just be sitting in the room with the guy. You don't want to ruin it for him.
Right.
You know, you're thinking to yourself, like, of course you want to know, like, what does he think, but you don't want to interview him, and you know what? Just enjoy the fights. He watched all sporting events, for that matter, though. He was into sports in general. He really supported the University of Louisville.